few minutes. You know, it's always wonderful to prepare messages, and really the Lord shows me a lot, and it's always wonderful to have this time together. It's just such a small amount of time, and I don't want to take about 3 or 4 hours, so we'll just do it in maybe like 35 minutes, but I just want to encourage people, if you want to dive in more, because it's almost like a little taste that we can just get to now, come to the Torah for Today discussions. We really dig into this stuff to a very deep level, and there's a lot of great stuff that comes out in our Torah for Today lessons. So we'll be teaching at 1 o'clock today virtually, also in here on Parsha Noach, and I'm going to be speaking about that now. So turn with me to Genesis chapter 6. We're going fast and furious the first like 11 chapters of the Bible. A lot of things happen before we settle in, and we will do that next week, on a man and a people, Abraham, and the Jewish people. But before that, God's got to like set the stage. He's got to give us the background. He's got to frame everything for us and explain things. So we talked about creation last week. We talked about the fall of man. We talked about all of these things. And then we get right into the second Torah portion, which is Noah, or Noah, and we come right to the story of the flood. God spent all that time creating the world. God spent all that time creating and explaining to us about the animals and the plants and, you know, the seas and the land. And then, just a few short chapters later, we just messed it all up, didn't we? We messed it all up. But I want to talk today, not really about the flood, even though we're going to get into that in Torah for today, but I really felt led to talk about Noah, the man, himself. When we look at the flood story, though, when we look at what's going on in these chapters, these few chapters that we have, and it goes on for 2 or 3 chapters, what we see is, of course, we see the flood, and everybody focuses on the flood, and it's good to do that, but sometimes what we miss is Noah himself and his character, the man Noah, what he went through. Now, Noah, like pretty much all of the biblical characters, can teach us things. Some of the biblical characters, they teach you what not to do, right? Noah, in many ways, teaches us what to do. He had character that we can learn from. He had character traits that we're going to talk about today that I think we should have as believers, as followers of the Messiah, as followers of the one true God. And the great thing about it is his character was shown at a very difficult time. So a lot of times character, and we're going to talk about this, character is brought out, character is shown, character is honed in not great times in our life, but in difficult times. And I think we can all agree that the flood account is a pretty difficult time, right? It was a difficult time for Noah, it was a difficult time for him and his family. But when we're in trouble, when there's problems, when there's issues, just like in 2020, right? When there's problems and issues, we can develop the kind of godly character that Noah had, because he developed this godly character. We can look at these things. Now let's start out Genesis chapter 6. But before we go to, was it verse 9 is the beginning of the Torah portion, I want to back up a few verses. Because to properly understand Noah and his character and how he developed his character, you got to understand just how bad things were, just how bad they had gotten in just a few short chapters. Genesis 6, 5, 6, and 7. All right. The Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord regretted that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him to his heart. Verse 7, so the Lord said, I will blot out man, whom I have created, from the face of the land, man and animals and creeping things and birds of the heavens, for I am sorry that I have made them. That is pretty sad, huh? That's pretty difficult. That's pretty dark as far as the time period we're living in. In just a few short chapters, the world was created. All of these things that are mentioned here, the land, the sea, man, animals, creeping things, birds of the heavens, all of these things that God spent all this time creating. And remember last week we talked about it. They were created for the unique purposes. And everything was in alignment. Everything was working, firing on all cylinders. Everybody was working the way that they were created to be. And in a few short chapters, all of that was erased. And the world completely rejected God. They had gone their own way. And the verse says, where is it? What verse are we talking about? And the verse says, verse 5, every intention of his heart was only evil. What that indicates is a complete and total depravity or depravity. Not only were people's deeds bad, you know, not only did they do bad things to each other and say bad things, but they had evil, they had wickedness in their heart. I mean, this was like every intention of the thought of their heart was only wicked. This is how bad it was. We could say that about today somewhat, right? It just seems like the deeds and the talk, the rhetoric is bad, but what's inside of people many times is so bad. But we're talking about continual depravity here. Turn with me to Matthew 15, verse 19. Now, we have a teacher, Yeshua the Messiah, the greatest teacher that ever walked the face of the earth, right? And Yeshua instructs us about the heart, about the intentions and what's coming out of our heart and how everything flows from the heart. Matthew 15, 19. For out of the heart, this is Yeshua's words to us, for out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, slander, all the bad stuff. It all comes from inside of us coming out. And this is what was going on in the world at the time. Now, if you go back to our Torah portion, Genesis 6, now we're going to come into the Torah portion a couple of verses. We're going to skip over a couple that we're going to get to in a minute, but let's just go to verses 11 and 12, and we're going to continue to read what's going on in the world. Verse 11, now the earth was corrupt in God's sight, and the earth was filled with violence. Again, really, really bad. Verse 12, and God saw the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth. Their hearts had completely rejected God. They had become corrupted in all of their ways, in their actions and everything. It had truly become a lawless and godless society. That's the framework. That's the place. That's the world that Noah lived in. Now go back to Genesis 6, verses 8 and 9. There is a stark contrast here between the depravity of the world, between the utter evil that was going on inside of people and outside of the whole world, and the man Noah, his character. Genesis 6, 8 and 9. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. Verse 9, these are the generations of Noah, the toldot of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his generation. Noah walked with God. Now, this isn't saying that Noah was perfect, because there was nobody perfect except for the Lord, except for Yeshua, right? A lot of commentaries will tell you, well, the earth was just so bad that any old person could have been pretty much blameless and you know, okay in comparison. And yes, Noah was not perfect. However, there's a lot of key indicators here. There's a lot of things in here or descriptors here that tell us the character of Noah. Verse 8, it says that Noah found favor with God. Now, the word in Hebrew for favor is chayein. And that word means favor, or it actually means grace. The word grace, which is unmerited favor, okay? So, only one other time in the Old Testament, or the Tanakh, only one other time is this word attributed to a person. And the other person that it's attributed to, besides Noah, is Moses. And we know, and this is the reference is Exodus 33:17, the same Hebrew word is used, in regards to Moses. And we know in Judaism, Moses is regarded as the greatest teacher. In traditional Judaism, he is like the primo guy. There is nobody as high as Moses. And for us, Moses is a righteous man. Moses is the one that brought us out of Egypt, right? He through the Lord and did all these things. He was a great prophet. He was a great man of God. And he has the same characteristic here. He found favor with God, just as Noah found favor with God. Noah, Moses, they stood out. And they didn't fit in with the people of the world at the time. That's point number one for us this morning. Noah didn't conform to the world around him. It was very easy probably to conform. You know how easy it is to conform, right? If you've ever gone to school, you know about peer pressure. If you've ever gone to work, you know about work pressure and how it, in the world today, there is a lot of pressure, temptation to conform to the ideals, to the way of life of the world. But Noah didn't conform to the world around him. And it's never easy, like I said, to go against the grain. Turn with me to Romans 12, verse 2. As followers of Yeshua, you and I are called, just like Noah, to not conform to the evil around us, to the world that's around us. Romans 12, 2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. It doesn't say if the tests come, because the connotation here is testing will come to you. Problems will happen in the world, just like with Noah. It's an opportunity. See, you know how people always say that? Well, your problems are an opportunity, right, to make you feel better? Well, I'm here to make you feel better today. Your problems, all the stuff going on in the world, is an opportunity for you. It's an opportunity to build character like Noah had. Godly character, where we are being transformed by the renewing of our minds and not being conformed to the world. We are called to have integrity. We are called to not think like the world thinks. We are called to not act like the world acts, to conform to the world's ways, beliefs, systems. But we are actually called to conform to God's ways, God's ideals, God's standards, and not the world's. Now, here's the thing about the world's standards. Just when you think you know what the world's standards are, they change on you, don't they? And every time you turn around, there's a new belief system. There's a new way to think. We're being told this week, think this way, do this thing. And then next week, it's this way, it's this thing. The world's standards, the conformity to this world is constantly changing, shifting like the sands. But turn with me to Psalm 144, verse 1. I quoted this psalm the other week, and I just came back to it, and I thought this was awesome. And there's such a contrast between the world and the Lord. There's such a contrast between walking around with the depravity of our minds and walking around conforming and being transformed to the ways of God. Psalm 144, verse 1, "Blessed be the Lord, my rock, who trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle." Now let's focus on that word, rock. Blessed be the Lord, my rock. The rock, it says it, the rock in the ESV, which is the version that I'm reading from. Some of you may have other things that it says. King James Version says, my strength. The Hebrew word is sur, as in Ma'ot Sur, you know, the song we sing every Hanukkah, which is rock of ages. The connotation here is God is an immovable rock. He is an immovable stone. If we align ourselves, if we conform ourselves, if we transform our minds and renew ourselves to be like the immovable rock, we are not going to shift with the shifting sands of the world. We are not going to worry, oh no, we're not doing what the world says now, because it constantly changes. But when we're hooked in, when we're zeroed in on the rock, our strength, we can stand and not be conformed around us to what's around us, just like Noah was. Now turn back to Genesis 6, verses 14 through 16. So Noah was faithful to not conform to the world around him. And we read on in our portion. This is what God tells Noah to do. It's 14 and 6 through 16. "Make yourself an ark of gopher wood. Make rooms in the ark and cover it inside and out with pitch. This is how you are to make it. The length of the ark is 300 cubits, its breadth 50 cubits, and its height 30 cubits. Make a roof for the ark and finish it to a cubit above, and set the door of the ark on its side. In its side, make it with lower, second, and third decks." And it goes on and it explains the details, and we don't have time to get into the ark and, you know, how long it took to build the ark and all the dimensions of the ark, what the ark looked like. Those are all fascinating things. And some of you may have gone to the Ark Encounter. Has anybody been to the Ark Encounter up in Kentucky? I'd love to go. But, you know, that's kind of a replica, an actual replica of what this thing looked like. It was to be built with exacting specifications in order to house Noah, his family, and all the kinds of animals for however long God wanted them to be held there for, which was, we know, a long time. And for Noah to do this, for Noah to go ahead and build it just as God said, couldn't cut corners, it required a few things from Noah. It required dedication. I mean, it took years to build the ark. Years. It required courage. I'm sure Noah faced some criticism from people. What are you building, Noah? Well, it's this thing called an ark. It's going to save me and my family and all the animals from the flood. Oh, really? Okay, you're crazy. You know, I could just see the criticism. I can just see the courage it would have taken Noah to keep going and to not stop. And I'm sure it was pretty fierce, the criticism that he faced. Because you can't hide a structure that big for too long, right? Even back then. There's no garage that's going to fit that thing. I don't think Noah had a structure that big. Can't hide it. But it took faithfulness. Genesis chapter 6, verse 22. This is what we read. Noah did this. He did all that God commanded him. So that brings us to point number two today. Noah was faithful to God's call and vision for him. Now, it's easy to be faithful to God's call and vision for your life, as well as my life, when it's easy to do. But when you got to build something like an ark that people are criticizing you over and that takes a long time to build, it's very difficult, isn't it? But Noah was faithful to God's call and vision for him. You can turn to Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. Many of us know this one in our sleep, but it's worthy to mention. Noah was faithful. He looked beyond his own understanding. He looked beyond the world's own understanding, and he trusted in God's understanding. Even though he didn't understand it, he trusted in God. Proverbs 3, 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. That means your own logic, your own way of thinking through things. You know, we can get out of most problems in our life by using simple logic, right? Okay, well, I know I shouldn't touch that burner because it's hot. Okay, you don't get burned. That's an easy one. But there are issues in life, there are problems, there are situations you will find yourself in, and I've found myself in, that require a supernatural touch, that require more than just our logic to get us out of it. And when that happens, we have to trust supernaturally in God. It's like when Abram was told, go, leave, and go to a land I'm going to show you. Oh, and by the way, you're going to have a child. What do you mean? My wife is barren. He had to trust and not rely on his own understanding. Just like Abram, later Abraham, Noah was faithful to God's call and vision for him. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. This is the faith chapter. You can turn to Hebrews 11, 1. And, you know, we love to quote these verses. We have them memorized, but we really need to get them deep into our soul because it's easy when things are going easy. But when it's difficult out there, when you're told to build an ark, when you're told to live through a pandemic, when you're told that things are not going so well with your health or your job or your family, can we be faithful like Noah was faithful? Hebrews 11, 1. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. The world, the primo rule of the world is you've got to believe what you see. The primo rule of God is you cannot believe what you see. You have to trust what you cannot see. And it's the conviction of things not seen. There's nothing against logic. There's nothing against intelligence. They're all God-given. But there are times when we need to suspend those things, like when God tells us to build an ark. Now, God's not going to tell probably any of you to build an ark, but he's going to have you do things. He's going to call you to things. He's going to have you go to somebody. He's going to have you go do a thing that you may not understand. But you've got to put your faith in him. Of course, get confirmation, read through the word, let it all, you know, let it be the Lord that's showing you these things. But then you need to go forward and be faithful. Now, sometimes I would think over the years that it took to build the ark, Noah made some statements like this. Well, maybe this flood's not really going to happen after all. I don't really see anything to indicate this. Or even, God, how can I be the one to construct this thing? Little old me, I'm just Noah. I'm just this one man. How are you going to like save the world through me? This is too much. I can't do it. I'm not good enough. I'm not worthy enough. We say those things, don't we? God, how come you've chosen me to go do that? Can't you pick somebody else? You know, that's what we say all the time. But when we look at the Bible, we could see some other people that had this problem. I'm going to give you one other example. Exodus chapter 3, there's this guy named Moses. We talked about him earlier. And initially, you know, Moses did so many great things. Moses is the greatest prophet and teacher in Judaism. He led the people through 40 years in the wilderness. He had to deal with some real sorrows from the people. I'm sure he was popping Tylenol a lot or whatever he had back then, right? But, you know, here's the thing. He wasn't initially like that. He didn't initially get up one day and say, yeah, I'm going to be the guy. He was actually very timid at first. He was actually very hesitant. He actually probably said things like, why me, God? In fact, chapter 3, verse 11, but Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? That's what Moses said. And look what God did through him. So if that's Moses, if that's Noah, what's God going to do for you and I? What's God going to call us to? Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. Some great scriptures that can encourage us about being faithful to the call and the vision, however small or big it is that God gives you. Philippians 4, 13. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Now the world will stop right there after the first few words. I can do all things, right? That's what the world says. You and I can't do a single thing without the rest of the sentence. Through him who strengthens me. He is the one that gives us the strength. Remember Psalm 144 verse 1. My rock, my strength. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. In Messiah Yeshua, you and I can do everything he's called us to do. No matter how crazy it seems. Now, back to Genesis. Let's go to Genesis 8 now. We're going to go fast forward a little bit. The ark is built. The flood happens. All of this stuff that was prophesied. All of this stuff that God said would happen actually does happen. And Noah, through his faithfulness, is saved. And the animals and the family. And what happened with Noah? So the flood is over. The text goes on, describes the flood. Then what happens is as soon as the flood's over, this is Genesis 8 verse 20 now. Go to 8 verse 20. We see the last aspect here of Noah's character that I wanted to bring out today. What's happened? The flood's happened. Everything's gone on. First thing that happens, door opens. All the animals probably barrel out. Noah comes out. You know, he's like, wow, this is crazy. It's been days. It's been months, weeks, whatever. And the first thing Noah does, Genesis 8, verse 20, then Noah built an altar to the Lord and took some of every clean animal and some of every clean bird and offered burnt offerings on the altar. Now, there's about 3 hours worth of stuff to talk about in that verse, but I've only got a few more minutes, so what I wanted to point out is, after all that time in the ark, all that time with the animals, flood is over, water's receded, Noah opens the door, and the first thing he does is, point number three, Noah puts God first and gives him the glory. And that's the last real lesson I think we can learn here. When Adonai has us go through difficult times in our life, you may be going through one now, you may be just coming out of one, when the Lord intervenes supernaturally and saves us or delivers us, do we stop before anything else and thank him? Do we stop and give him glory? Do we acknowledge that it was only through him that we came through that? Noah did. Do we put the Lord first before anything else? Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Many of you know this verse as well, but you know, we've got to stop and we've got to pause and we've got to remember God first. We have all of these reminders in Judaism. You know, we had a liturgy today and we have our Torah service, and God peppers all of these reminders in the liturgy. He peppers all of these reminders in his word to stop, to think of him, to take our focus off of our own lives, to put it on him and to put him first. Matthew 6:33. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. But what do we do in the world? We go out there and we start worrying about this and worrying about that. And how am I going to do this? And how am I going to do that? We put everything else before God. And then we say, you know, I'm kind of busy, kind of tired. Sorry, I don't have time for you today, God. We need to flip that. We need to put God first. And it says all of these things will be added to us. No matter what God has called us to do, we need to start with God. We need to acknowledge him. We need to acknowledge his sovereignty over our lives. We need to demonstrate that kind of, that character trait that Noah had and the character that God wants us to have. Now go to the book of Yaakov, the book of James, one verse, chapter 4, verse 8. We need to stop, pause, acknowledge God, put him first, but we also need to do this. Draw near to God, James 4, 8, and he will draw near to you. Wow, what a concept. First we draw near to him, then he draws near to us. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. You know, we're double-minded when we have one foot in the priorities of the world and one foot in the priorities of the Lord. I'm not saying we don't go out there in the world and we don't live and talk to people and do all the things we have to do, but we've got to put God first. We cannot be double-minded. We have to be singularly minded in putting the Lord first, drawing near to him. Now, all of this talk of the sacrifices, you know, we talked about Noah made a sacrifice. Don't have time to fully get into that. We know that the sacrifices were done for the shed blood so that atonement could be made for the sins of people. And there's another reason the sacrifices were done. It's kind of implicit in all this, but the Chumash says this. I'm going to quote here. The purpose of the sacrificial system is to bring about a person's closeness and dedication to godliness. So the sacrifices that ancient Israel did and that what Noah did right here, the sacrifices were a means to not only atone for sins, but to connect us with God, to get close with God. Well, obviously, we did this with shedding the blood, but the point is we needed to draw near to God. What's the first thing Noah did? He stopped everything and he drew near to God. He drew near to the Lord. So when we look at this character of Noah, we see somebody that I think we can emulate. You know, he wasn't perfect, like I said, but he was called blameless, meaning in a generation of darkness, he was a light that shined very brightly. And it was difficult sometimes. It was easy to conform to the world around him, but it was difficult for him not to conform. It was difficult for him to be faithful all those years, and it took a lot of years to build that ark. It was Noah having that character of putting God first, seeking God's glory, that got him through this. And it built his character. Now turn, last scripture of the day, the book of Romans, chapter 5. We'll start with verse 3. There's a honing of character that only happens when you go through periods like Noah went through. When you go through periods like 2020. When you go through periods that we've all just been through. That's the time that character is built. That's the time, you know, when the world gets darker, it just means you and I can shine brighter in the Lord. It means the Lord can shine brighter in us. So when the world grows darker, the easy thing is to be discouraged. And I get discouraged too. But what we should do is be encouraged because God is in our midst. God is working out character in you and I. Romans 5, verses 3 through 5. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Ruach HaKodesh, through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. We got all the tools in our toolbox today. We've got everything we need to be faithful, to not conform, to put the Lord first. We have every tool we need to build godly character today and not to wait. We don't have to wait until floods come in our life. We can do it anytime, day or night. This is the time. This is the day to build our character before the Lord. This is the time when things are not going so great, where we can press in with God, where we can really hone in to what he's got for us, because that character that you're developing is producing godly hope. Not the hope that the world has, but the hope that we have in him. So today, rejoice, because you're building character that's gonna result in hope. And we're building the foundation for a closeness with God that the world can't know, and that we need to continue to hone. We need to continue to build upon. We need to continue to read up on, and we need to continue to live out in our lives. Amen. Let's pray. God, we thank you, we praise you, We glorify you, Lord. Sometimes it's hard to say, boy, we rejoice in our sufferings. But Lord, may we all build godly character, no matter what we're going through, no matter if it's very, very difficult or if things are okay today. I pray, Lord, you're with us. I pray even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, your rod and your staff will comfort us today. Lord, be an encouragement to us today. Help us to build that godly character that Noah had. Help us in these times to shine ever brighter. Give us opportunities to share with people. When people say, what are you doing over there? Just like they said to Noah, what are you building over there? What are we building? What we're building is godly character for the Lord. And it's an opportunity to share our faith. It's an opportunity through our life experience to show other people how they can have that true eternal life and have that light in them. And so, Lord, I just pray that you would encourage, strengthen, uplift us. Fill us up today with your Ruach HaKodesh. Fill us up today with godly character so we can go out there this week and we can be a light in this dark world. We thank you, God. We praise you. We give you all praise. We give you all glory and we give you all honor. In the name of Messiah Yeshua, amen and amen. Let's all stand together. We're going to close our service.